Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The healthy versus non-healthy, and all of those topics. You know what else we do? We bring on some pretty cool guests.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for the intro that I'm going to like fumble through, butcher? I'm kidding. This is a friend of mine. We're going to talk about healthcare a lot, I would assume. Probably the Jaguar, some other fun stuff. But friend first at this point.
I think
also,
that's fair.
A healthcare expert. Let's see here.
Debatable.
You have been with a small company, Mayo Clinic, for how long?
14 years.
14 years, your internship. The title of your position is Ops Administrator, right?
Yes.
We're going to dive into Operations Administrator. What does that mean? What does that entail? You know healthcare. Right? The good, the bad, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, everything in between. That's kind of our thing we talk about. Is that fair to ask?
If I know healthcare? Yeah, I think
Heather
so.
Heather Barlow, UNF graduate. What do we say?
Swoop.
You got to say swoop. Oh, there it is. That's on video.
That's a first.
Hey, I love
that's a first? That's
that was a real
that's
first. Swoop.
That's
my
that's
swoop.
So depressing with a suit on, no less.
Yeah, we are our casual business or business casual more casual than business.
I know. I was expecting a tie over the t-shirt.
I got a three-quarter zip.
Disappointed.
Jeez. Oh, you got any ties back there, Justin?
No.
Nope.
I know.
Heather Barlow, UNF graduate. What do we say every time we say UNF?
Swoop.
We are UNF grads. We love it there.
Yes, me too.
Operations administrator at Mayo Clinic. But before we dive into that thing, I have to put a public service announcement. Is that how I say it?
I think that's fair, yeah, public service.
These are your opinions, not Mayo's.
Yes.
Did I say that?
I'm here representing myself as the amazing individual that I am.
Which is like 98 on Rotten Tomatoes, two thumbs up,
oh,
all the
wow.
things.
I'm not, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not this into myself. I just, to be clear.
I am that into you. That sounded a little weird. We're starting off back to healthcare.
This is like a
real friend of mine who works in healthcare. We talk off the record about frustrations, ups, downs, all
yes,
the stuff.
Yes. Also, I'd have to put a shameless plug in that we're also board members for Jack's Chamber Health
oh,
Council.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the
big
Jack's
Chamber. Supporters of Chamber of Commerce.
We love shout outs, by the way. We need a bow, bow, bow.
I know. Air horn. More air horn. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. With this room, we do have the ability of sound effects now.
We
so
do.
We can work on that.
Game changer.
We're off to a great start.
Yeah.
I told you.
I'm like, where's the...
I didn't even know this existed.
Also, we cannot forget Trey and Justin. I would say co-hosts, producers, and creatives.
Color commentary.
I'm just a talking head, but they'll ask great questions. Okay, do you want to start serious or not serious?
I'll defer to you. It's your show, after all.
I want to start not serious.
Always.
Okay. Healthy or not healthy? Grown men
warned me about this
I
bit,
did.
By the way.
Grown men with their shirts off at Jacksonville Jaguar games.
Yikes.
Okay, never mind. Sorry, let's get serious.
I'm like, are you going to give background on that? To be clear, Eric is a season ticket holder, and so is my husband, Blake, with all of their close friends. And some did choose to go shirtless, some did not. I'm not indicting my husband. He had shirt on, but... Yeah.
It was all over the Jags media, like our middle-aged friends were seeing that picture.
It was the photo that chose to make all the Jaguar marketing materials.
Yeah.
Did you get royalties on that?
You don't get royalties. You don't want royalties on this.
I know. They're on like year four of all of their photos being used in the marketing materials, and I have yet to get any sort of check. So where's my mailbox money?
Did they have to sign something for that? Because
no.
Our company used a picture of me and the kid for our healthcare like package, and I had to sign a whole.
So that's business related. When you walk into a public entity like a Jags game, you're essentially signing away whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's ring.
Okay. Go back. I'm sorry.
This is a really long intro. Just to show, like, again, I'm excited you're here. We went back and forth. She emailed me the other day. Where's my invite for the radio show? It's like, Heather, I've invited you 50 times. I was nervous because, again, you were
most exclusive guest.
Ooh.
Big deal.
Like it.
No.
Let's talk healthcare briefly because this will help them too and other listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Operations administrator. What does that mean?
Yeah. So basically what that means is I, you know, for, I hate to say it this way, but I help administer the operations, right? What does that actually mean? That means that, so Mayo Clinic's a physician-led organization. So each physician leader has an administrative partner with them. So I'm not clinically trained, right? I'm trained in business and kind of like corporate operational details. So I partner with that physician to help execute different things, right? So Mayo has a variety, like so many different areas,
hundreds,
specialties, things like that. Right, exactly. And I've had several different practice areas that I've been over and partnered with physicians and other people like nurse administrators, you know, same thing, right? Leaders that are on the nursing side with the goal of all three of us working together to run different business objectives. So for me, in my current job, I'm over what's called the Office of Access Management, which is all of the scheduling functionalities within Mayo Clinic Florida. So I have about 700 FTE that report up under me.
What does FTE mean?
No idea.
Full-time employees.
Oh, God. I know. Sorry.
I'm so glad you checked my lingo.
When you throw out acronyms, that's my job.
Pull a card, guys.
No, you do it. That's my job.
Thank you.
You're up here intelligence-wise. I'm here.
Full-time employees, right?
Way down there.
Full-time employees. And, you know, if I really want to get granular in business on y'all, 700 FTE doesn't necessarily mean 700 people because not everybody's full-time, right? So 700 FTE can actually equate to like about 900 humans, right?
Whoa.
I have a physician partner with me, and then we're over, our oversight also includes kind of technically the scheduling components of the electronic health record. Right. So I help.
What's the acronym for electronic health records?
EHR.
My man.
Whoa.
I'm getting kicked off this radio show. No, you're not. Oh my gosh. You're already my favorite. A couple like in and out of serious and not serious. Complimenting. So Mayo Clinic, anyone who is not using Mayo Clinic in some capacity, again, I love you other local hospital systems
that I work with. There's room for all of us.
Incredible. Correct. Incredible organization. You said something physician led. This is what is a big deal. A lot of hospitals, I don't want this to sound negative, are administrator led, right? Mm. So a business person is running hospital system, all the operations. Mayo has physicians tied to that operations.
Yep.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're running 700 FTEs. Which stands for?
Full-time employees.
My man. Partnered with a physician.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly outpatient?
Yeah. Yep. So as you can imagine, different than a lot of health systems, Mayo has a hospital bed tower, but most of the care that we provide is actually through an outpatient modality, if you will, right? Hence the clinic, right? The term clinic really is kind of referring to outpatient practice. So yes, there's about 50 different outpatient, and I'm sure I'm missing some by saying 50 and generalizing, but there's about 50
different. If you're
different,
the other two, don't get offended.
I know. 50 different outpatient practices.
Cardiology, oncology, gerontology, insert all
gastroenterology,
ologies. All the ologies.
Hematology, oncology, all the ologies. Yeah,
so
exactly.
Trey and Justin have health issues with insert body part, pick a body part.
The elbow.
So orthopedics.
Ortho. Yeah.
Orthology.
They're a fun one that they don't have an ology. Orthopedic surgery.
Orthopedics.
Yes.
That's the one that's not an ology. Good choice.
Or sports medicine. Depends on how the elbow is
but
injured.
But that could be considered outpatient. So Justin cracks his elbow playing hockey.
Sure.
Arm wrestling. Your son insert thing. Goes into Mayo.
Shameless plug for the igloo.
Yeah. The igloo, yes. Yeah. There are no shameless plugs. We love plugs.
Yes.
Any shout out, throw it out there. Because we need sponsors. I'm kidding.
You're the sponsor.
You hurt your elbow. You go in. You get the best inpatient experience of your life. You want to go home and get taken care of outside of those hospital walls. You work with?
Mayo.
Heather Barlow.
Yeah, or Heather Barlow's fantastic team, right? Yeah, so exactly. The experience you have if you come through the emergency room, you end up getting admitted, you get discharged, and they want you to follow up with someone outpatient, whether it's orthopedic surgery and maybe PT, OT, et cetera. All of those kind of transactions, if you will, of getting new appointments, getting everything set up, teed up, is all done by my team. And I actually have another team as well that helps really analyze a lot of the data around those interactions to see, you know, are there ways that we could enhance Justin's experience? Meaning like, you know, are there improvements we could be making in the system, in the electronic health record, et cetera? And so I have a team of analysts that actually works with orthopedic surgery's physician and administrator leadership to fix
what
that.
What does PT stand for?
Physical training.
Close.
Oh.
I like, again, how do you learn? How do you learn?
You answered very confidently.
Physical.
Not personal either.
Therapy.
Oh, what does OT stand for?
Here's a tough
overtime.
One.
Overtime. Exactly, dude.
OT is what Justin will be getting at the end of this radio show.
Yes, that's right. Occupational therapy.
Oh, okay, yes.
Again,
yeah.
Who's the audience for this? This is why I love this.
Yeah. And the difference between the two, which is really odd, I know, but it's, speaking of your elbow, the strengthening and, you know, challenges you might be having with your muscles, PT, right? Mm-hmm. But the act of feeding yourself again now that you've been immobile for 6 weeks, OT.
Oh, gosh.
Right? So OT would actually teach you, like, how do you make that connection between your brain and your body?
Again, okay.
Because you have to rebuild that, too.
Before this role, which is, again, 700 FTEs. I like saying, we're going to start saying that. That's a lot of people.
It is, yeah. There's several layers.
Of course.
It is, and I have an amazing leadership team. I love all of the people that I work with.
Who's your boss?
My boss, plug, not shameless, plug for Josh Mattson.
Josh, what's up, Josh?
So Mayo works in, you know, I mentioned kind of, I'm an operations administrator, so then there's an associate administrator, which is Josh. Josh is over several OAs, operations administrators, and then Josh reports to the chief administrative officer. So even though Mayo Clinic Florida has probably close to 9,000 employees.
In this area.
In this area alone.
Northeast Florida.
Yeah, 80,000 total.
Correct, 80,000 people.
Yeah, so even though there's quite a few people, there's not as many layers as you might see in a more traditional community footprint. So we all kind of funnel up.
To me personally, right, the physician-led component is a big deal.
Yeah.
Versus just, I love you and what you do. Administrators are great, but you need that clinical side tied to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, the differences between a more administratively ran hospital system versus a physician-led one is truly you're leading with that clinical, what's going to impact the patient, the needs of the patient first, right? Not saying they don't do that in ones that are not physician-led, but I think it is a little bit different because physicians are trained in the care of patients first, not the business first, where it's the opposite for someone like me, right?
Yep.
I'm trained in how to run the business first, and so it's truly an ideal partnership when you think about how would we clinically manage these, and does that fiscally make sense?
That's probably similar in like the education system where you
absolutely,
you actually probably want to take the input of the teachers the most because they're on the ground versus administrators.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there's, I mean, like it's, nothing's perfect, right? I mean,
what?
There's
yeah.
There's reasons for both, right? There's reasons that some systems are not ran with physician leaders, and then there's reasons why ours is, right? Everybody loves working with a bean counter or a suit like me.
I wasn't
right?
going to say those terms.
I know.
That's quite
okay. I did wear my suit here. I basically have a dunce hat on. But
that's a sweet suit, by the way. For anyone who sees the video, I'm like, I want one of those.
Yeah, thanks. Plug for Ann Taylor.
Ann Taylor.
Shout out.
Yeah, yeah. And then see ad Ann Taylor. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's going to pop up. But you know, at the end of the day, it's like us partnering together, then we can both ensure that everybody's needs are being met. Because unfortunately, healthcare is still a business and still has to have some financial sustainability that happens. Otherwise, we can't keep helping patients and we can't keep offering the latest and greatest treatments, right? So you kind of need both.
Before, go ahead, Troy.
Oh, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
All right. So you went to UNF.
Yes.
Obviously, when you were at UNF, I doubt you imagined like overseeing 900 people. So what was the journey from like someone that went to UNF all the way to where you're at now?
Yeah. Yeah. Great question. So, so first I was pre-med.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another soundboard. First, I was pre-med.
We don't need a soundboard. We can just do it ourselves.
Yeah. And then, and in that kind of process, I was working as a manager of a restaurant, and I was like, man, I really like managing people, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And which is interesting because managing people at a restaurant ends up being very similar to what I do today too. So people are people no matter what
people
the industry is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So I was like, I really like managing people. I really like people, but I still love healthcare and I still want to stay at healthcare. My mom was a nurse. You know, I've known healthcare my entire life, right? That's where my comfort
is. Where was mom a nurse?
A couple different places, but mom was a nurse administrator at one point.
Northeast Florida?
So in the Gulf side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So Spring Hill, Florida, about 30 minutes north of Tampa.
Back to the journey. Sort of.
Yeah. No, you're fine. And I'm from the Midwest originally. Hopefully my Midwest accent translates in this over this microphone.
I haven't caught it yet.
Yeah. No way.
Oh, yeah.
There it is. Okay. Thank you for throwing that out there.
Oh, you know. There you go. You betcha.
So,
that's great. I try really hard to hide it because it's not the most attractive. So, I decided to change majors. Yeah, I decided to change to health administration. I didn't know about the major before I was in school. Honestly, I learned about it while being in school and was like, I think this is what I would like more, right? Don't know if my mom loved that I changed from pre-med, but that's okay. So I went the health administration route, undergrad at UNF, and then I have an MBA from FIU. But during health administration, the UNF has such an amazing program and they have these close partnerships with everybody in the community. So they really recommend very early on in the program to volunteer and to just, again, to get exposure to places, get your foot in the door, right?
Yes.
Especially for someone like me who my resume was just going to be restaurants and some retail stores, no healthcare, right? So I started volunteering at Mayo Clinic every Friday morning and just really fell in love with the culture, the people. And also I felt very early on, again, I wasn't even an employee, right? But they showed an interest in really helping me achieve my future goals and career, right? And with my career. And they still do, right? And I try to, of course, do the same for people that work there, right? It's, you know, helping invest in the people and help them grow and give them opportunities. I felt that right away there. So I went from volunteering to doing my undergraduate internship there, again, you know, through UNF, part of the program.
What was the internship? What department doing what?
Yeah, so I interned in transplant. So I entered in.
Do you guys know what a transplant department is?
Come on, no way.
Transplants?
Yes. I need a new liver.
Yeah,
I need a new heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quite literally, organ transplants, okay. Yes. Solid organ transplant, yeah. So, you know, like my role now, I interned with the operations administrator for the transplant department at the time. And she had me do some projects and different things like that. And again, just I fell in love, became obsessed with the idea of building a career there and just staying. And so basically after my internship is over, I got a job and that's all she wrote. Not a job right away in this. I worked my way up from entry level. Yeah.
Do you have any key mentors that played in that process?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You want to shout out?
Sure.
Yeah, we love shouting out.
Yeah.
Then you can be like, hey, listen to this episode.
I said your name.
This person impacted me. This person impacted me. Here's why.
Yeah, so I would say I got to give a shout out to Kay Thiemann. She's a professor at UNF now in the health administration
Double
program.
Shout out.
Yeah, a lot of swoops here.
Yes, exactly. She's a fantastic human being, a mother, you know, which again is now having a 1.5-year-old. It's like I still connect with her and still talk to her and just saw her like 2 weeks ago, having somebody who's had such an amazing career journey, but also did it while being married and having children and balancing all of those additional things is truly something to admire, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially now as I try to do that myself and figure out the trials and tribulations, right? But
did
she
figure it out yet? Because
any day now. I know. No. Yeah. But yeah. And I think Kay would say too, like her children are adults and she's probably still figuring it out, right? Because every day is a journey. But no, she was an amazing mentor to me and still is. Someone I still keep in touch with. And I actually have had the true privilege of going back to UNF and presenting one of her classes about my career.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
You say swooper cool?
That's
swooper.
What I said too.
Swooper cool. We just created a new term on the spot.
Guys, we're going to fill this board before the end of the day.
T-shirts.
But, so I mean...
So UNF, right?
Yeah.
What about Mayo?
At UNF. Well, and I'm saying Kay was at Mayo. So
she was there.
She was in,
okay.
Yeah.
Also
so
a professor.
She just recently retired from Mayo and is a full-time professor at UNF.
Yeah. Got it.
But she was an adjunct professor at UNF while working at Mayo. She was an associate administrator. So
when are you going to be an adjunct professor at UNF?
I know. That's a goal of mine personally. It's a goal I've had for a long time.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, I know.
I know some people there,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it's, again, just one of those things where it's like finding the time is something I'm still navigating with my 1.5-year-old, but yeah.
1.5. Let's save the kid talk for the back half because like I might get emotional.
It's not as interesting.
It is super interesting and it matters. I want to go back to the partnership between physician and administrator.
Yeah.
What do you butt heads about?
Oh gosh, so many things.
I mean, it's productive, right?
And, yeah.
And progresses what you're doing in a positive way forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine there's things that he or she disagrees with you on and vice versa. Can you share that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I think, again, so the other part of Mayo that it makes Mayo so amazing is that it's an academic medical center. What does that mean to people that aren't in medicine? That means that Mayo has a medical school. It has a residency. It has a residency program. It truly is all about building the future of medicine, right? With learners, which is amazing. You know, when you look at our logo, we have three shields. Well, I was talking about that three shields internally. The big shield in the middle is the practice, and then the one to the left is research, and the other one to the right is education, right? Because we're also a major research entity. Yeah. So that's the idea. So what's the challenge with that? Well, if you're going to teach students and build the future of medicine, you need time to do that, right? Same with research. If you're going to build the future, I mean, some of these Alzheimer's drug trials were done by neurologists that I worked with personally, I mean, the neurology department, right? I mean, if you're going to build the future of medicine and research, you need time to do that. And so one of the biggest challenges we have is the amount of time that's left in the day. And when do you see patients while balancing those things?
And documenting in an EMR.
Right,
and,
right. Yep. Because it's not just seeing patients anymore. It's clerical burden that comes from having an electronic health record, having all of these kind of government requirements for insurance claims and all these things.
We're gonna talk about that in the
okay.
second half for,
yeah.
for
so
sure.
So it's like, so how do you balance all that? And the kind of ultimate fight, I think, that an administrative leader and a physician leader has is that the administrative leader is looking to try to get as many patients seen as possible because, again, like there's high volumes of patients that need our help. And the physician leaders are wanting to do that, but also trying to get their research protocol completed and also have a commitment to teach learners and balancing that in a 10-hour day.
Oh, so. Balance. You going to chime in?
I was also curious, do you find at times it's just because it's two, in a way, different worlds? A lot of times you guys might be saying the same thing, but just saying it differently because it's different mindset in a way?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think everybody has the same goal, right? And that's, so we always talk about how we're a consensus-based organization, right? Like we don't ever make any decisions in a vacuum. We have so many committees and so many, we all meet together and talk through things before we make decisions. And a lot of times what happens in these meetings is you learn that everybody wants the same, of course, everybody wants the same thing. And that's, they want to take care of as many people as possible, right? And, but it's the way of which you go about doing that and accomplishing that goal might be different. And, you know, physician burnout is very real and it's, you know, administrative burnout is very real, mm-hmm. right? And so, and the demands on all of us, especially in healthcare, the demands on the healthcare system continue to increase. And that's where it's like that balance and how do you maintain both is tough because at the end of the day, that's what makes it different than if I did go back to my restaurant days or my, it's not a table that's going to get their food late and their food's cold and we'll just comp it. It's somebody's cancer diagnosis. It's, you know, somebody's brain tumor. It's, you know, it's these are real things that we're balancing, real people. And so it's tough. It's hard.
Heather Barlow, going into the commercial break, my goodness, immediately like, how do we keep going on this? That was incredible. That's what the hell just happened. Welcome back to the second half of What the Hell Just Happened. If you missed the first half, you're catching this on the radio. Good news is you can catch the full episode on your favorite podcast platform under What the Hell Just Happened. Heather Barlow, operations administrator, works with Mayo, but this whole conversation are her own opinions.
Yes.
Right? Is that
own opinions, own thoughts as
own
an individual.
Opinions, own thoughts. But you do work for an incredible organization. We talked a lot about Mayo Clinic, the good stuff going on, the partnership between physician and administrator. Again, first half to me, pretty cool. We're going to run out of time. We always do, and I just want to keep asking questions and talk and learn.
Well, I can come back.
You
repeat.
Heard that. That's a
Anytime.
Commitment. That's a commitment. That's a verbal contract.
We got
this
it on
is
camera.
On air. Yep.
Yeah.
On air.
Yeah. Sorry.
I told you. Okay. So what happens after the commercial break? I like healthy or not healthy.
Okay.
We started the show with the first one, grown men taking their shirts off at Jags games. You could argue healthy or not healthy. What do you think, Trey?
That dude, not healthy.
You know that dude.
I know.
Okay.
But if it were you, it would be debatable.
I think it could be healthy. You're clearly very into the
it's
game.
It's also super hot.
Yeah.
Right? Game one. It's like the temperature. You can get your tan. That's mm-hmm. like vitamin D.
Or get a sunburned, unhealthy.
There's a lot of stuff. Okay. Yeah. Healthy or not healthy, golf lessons.
Ooh.
Healthy. My swing right now, not healthy.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Healthy or not healthy, business suits.
Not healthy, very constraining.
That doesn't look that constraining. I'm definitely like t-shirts and shorts.
This one's an exception to the rule. Most of the time they're not very comfortable.
Healthy or not healthy, putting your clean laundry on the floor. I told you. There's a prep call with questions.
Yeah.
It's calling her husband out, by the way.
Not healthy.
Oh. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm saying that in a husband, not healthy.
I asked her, what's the one thing your husband does that drives you nuts is putting the clean laundry on the floor.
That was my answer of what my husband does. Now I asked him, what would you say is the one thing that I do that drives you nuts? And I said,
healthy or not healthy, being controlling.
I know. I said, is it being controlling? And he said, and I quote, my husband, if I was bothered by that, I wouldn't have married you. That's your entire personality.
Oh, man. To be fair.
And then he said, I would say, you click around on my phone too much.
He clicks, you click around on his phone too much?
Because when he doesn't know how to do stuff, I'm like, here, just let me do it. See earlier comment about being controlling, guys.
Got
fair enough.
Dang. I am guilty. Again, we talked about this. I like prep calls with guests. Just paint a little picture of life. My wife called it a floor drobe. I take my clothes, carry it upstairs, and put it on the floor in the corner. She calls it a floor drobe.
She needs to like copyright that. That's a perfect adjective for it.
Got that from somewhere.
I don't know. Yeah.
You got any healthy or not healthies?
Healthy or not healthy, boneless buffalo wings from Buffalo Wild Wings.
I mean, straight up not healthy. But like in that moment while I'm eating them,
unbelievably healthy.
Yeah.
I know. It's a really like thin line of the what incites joy. Could that be considered healthy?
Yeah. When do you cross the line?
Yeah.
Like the first bite. It's definitely not healthy.
It's definitely
the second.
Is it first bite?
80-20 Yeah. Is it?
Or is it when you reheat them in your air fryer later?
Not healthy.
Or don't reheat them and eat them cold.
Oh. That would break a tooth. Break a tooth.
I got a random one for some comrades over here.
Okay.
Healthy or not healthy, wearing a shirt that kind of is like a jab at someone and they don't realize it's a jab at someone.
I say healthy.
Yeah.
Absolutely healthy.
Yeah.
You got any, Trey?
No.
Okay. You never know where it's going to go. There could be 10, there could be 5. Let's rein it back in a little bit.
Okay.
Back to healthcare specifically, maybe life. I like life too. You're eyeballing something.
Oh, I'm waiting to see what your life question is going to be.
I'm going to wait on life. I want to go back to healthcare for a second because, again, Mayo Clinic is up here. You don't want to rank people like it. It is one of the most well-known hospital systems in the United States. The research, what can you share some cool things that you're doing besides construction? We talk about cranes in the air, huge project. What are some cool stuff you're working on
that you can share? There might be some stuff you can't.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure everyone sees the cranes, or maybe for your non-local listeners, there's a hospital addition that's happening right now. So they're adding several floors to the hospital, which in itself is great because that means that's more people will be able to help, right?
And more revenue.
More employees.
Yeah, of
more
course. Jobs. Exactly. All it creates all great things, right? Nobody wants to be the patient in the ED that's held in the hallway, right? So having room for beds, expansion is always amazing. But in that expansion, they're doing some pretty cool stuff of analyzing and looking at what should the future inpatient stay look like, right? And when I emphasize the inpatient stay, because I'm sure people know, but Mayo's already been doing for about 4 years now a program called Advanced Care at Home, where they're offering an inpatient stay in your house.
Love it.
Right? For things that are still high enough acuity meaning, you know, sick enough to where...
Severity.
Exactly. Severity, sick enough to where you do need to be inpatient, but maybe you can have that stay in your home, right? Which is a pretty amazing experience if anybody's ever been in the hospital thinking about doing that from your house.
How do I get home, yeah.
Right. Is there even a chance that people could recover quicker in a more comfortable environment versus the hospital itself?
Oh, yeah. They have. They've done research. Yeah. That's awesome. So Mayo's done research about that and actually shown... pretty significant results because, I mean, think about the pet lover alone, right? When they're in the hospital, they have to leave their pets at home or, you know, have them boarded, et cetera. Now they get to be with their pets every day while people come in the home and treat them, right? So, yes, pretty significant results. And it's great because, again, the goal of that, too, is then you're, opening that bed for someone who might be higher acuity and need to be actually in the hospital.
So let's just say from a financial standpoint, is it cheaper for that person to be at their home for the hospital and them as a whole? So patient and hospital, is it a cheaper option or is that kind of to be determined?
Yeah, I think some of that's to be determined,
okay.
Honestly. And the reason why I say that is because for a while when Mayo first started this program, it was, we took a loss. Right.
Oh, okay.
And I say that because it's not a loss necessarily in like the concept, but more a lot of times when you do these things, the insurance claims process of getting those reimbursed and all that comes
insurance
much.
Insurance.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah. I know. Comes much later.
Yeah.
Right. But the goal was if we can give these patients the chance to recover at home and also be leaders approving this concept of like, this is a better way of treating certain patients, of allowing them the opportunity, then these things will come, right? It's not the first time Mayo's gone through a situation like that where they have to kind of prove the concept so that we aren't as worried about that, right?
Did that idea pick up pace because of COVID or was this something pre-COVID you guys were already experimenting with?
Yeah, great question. So I would say pre-COVID, we were building these plans and experimenting. COVID really kind of set it into like
gasoline,
yeah,
on
like
the
let's
fire.
Go.
Oh yeah. Yep. Oh yeah. Like turned it into a speed train for sure.
Gotcha.
What's the innovation building called that opened a couple years ago?
Discovery and innovation. Yeah.
Mayo's doing stuff that they're years ahead of people, right? So the in-home care stuff that started before.
Yeah. So the first floor of that building actually houses United Therapeutics and they do lung regeneration. So, you know, I worked in transplant. I was an intern there, and then I went back and worked there again. So I've had two stints in transplant. And they are taking lungs that might previously be considered not viable because lung is the most damaged organ you have in your body because you're breathing all day long.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure my liver's banged up from college, Trey. I'm just throwing that out there.
I was
going to
say, depends on the person, I guess.
That's a bad joke. Yeah, right? Edit that out.
Yeah. But they're taking lungs that maybe previously could not be considered viable enough for transplantation because the lungs themselves may not survive the severity of transplant and kind of helping to regenerate that tissue. By, again, stem cells and other amazing therapeutic things to where then they can be transplanted, which is unreal. And it's like a wild concept to even think about. And I'm sure, I don't know the future, but I'm sure they'll continue to look at those therapies for other organs, right? But starting with lungs and kind of working through that process and showing that proof of concept, that stuff takes years.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a really long time.
Lots of dollar bills.
Yes. And as you can imagine, lots of government hoops to jump through.
Oh my
goodness, right?
Can't even imagine.
So. What's legal or questionable or ethical or not ethical, yeah. and who's making that decision?
Right.
Let me go back to the addition, right? So what's happening? You're yeah. besides more beds, more rooms, you're talking about something specifically that are happening as yeah. you're doing this.
Yeah. So they're also, so I'll put a plug in for my friend, JC Fazio, who's helping to lead a lot of that
JC!
Work.
Yeah.
Shout out, JC.
Yeah. So she's Clemson alumni. It's okay.
I like your, you're doing like sound Lawrence. Effects on your own. yeah. This is, you're coming
felt
back.
Felt like this yeah. was a role I was supposed to fill. Yeah, but the Trevor Lawrence, I didn't miss that. So she and an amazing team of people, crazy brilliant people, are helping to create basically or looking at things that will enhance the inpatient experience. So looking at like vital applications. So like what we would call, you know, like monitoring and things like that, right? Where traditionally, you know, you might be hooked up to a blood pressure cuff that, and there's like four cords oh. and there's, yeah. And you've got your pulse ox and all these other
your EKGs
cables.
Cords,
yep, exactly,
your four leads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they're testing out, could you make those cordless, right? And have Bluetooth Ooh. Connection so that you could freely roam around your room, you know, if you didn't have an IV, right? They're looking at things like oxygen, same thing. Is there a way to have like a more portable oxygen option? Or, you know, they're building a digital board kind of at the base of your bed in hopes of having more information pushed to you as a patient so that you know, when the physician comes in the room, this is a physician, right? Because a lot of times if you're not, especially if you're not familiar with healthcare, if you are, you know, unfortunately admitted to the hospital, it's a scary situation, stressful situation. But there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people.
Seven doctors walk in at yeah. one time.
And you don't know who they are.
Correct.
And what role they play. And you're trying, everybody, you know, everyone's always trying to relay information to their loved ones. And I don't know who it was that said this and whatnot. Right. And so, especially at Mayo, because it is a, you know, like I said, a learning facility. So lots of residents, lots of students. Right. So the board would, you know, help identify who that is a part of your care team, what role that they play, has been in the room and things like that, right? So just the goal is to put the patient more in the driver's seat than they might be today. And I say Mayo's doing these stuff, but there's so many other amazing healthcare organizations that are doing these things too and looking at these things too. It's just, as you can imagine, it's complicated because the system's not built to do that naturally, right?
Yep.
Do you guys bring in like test groups of like former patients that then come and kind of like, hey, this is what I like. This is what kind of terrified me.
Yeah.
Is that some stuff you guys do?
Yeah, we do that a lot. We do that on the outpatient side too. Oh,
okay.
So we actually have like an advisory council that has patients on there. We have a lot of volunteers at Mayo that are actually patients as well, which is great because then we'll get feedback naturally like through just having the volunteers. And then, of course, we do the traditional kind of send surveys out. Where you,
gotcha.
You know, things that you found satisfactory, et cetera, and ask for comments. And I know on the outpatient side, especially when it comes to scheduling, I personally review those comments all the time looking for stuff. Yeah. So we try to get a lot of input and
percentage
context,
of bad
yeah.
to good when you read the comments. That's like reading Amazon reviews, which is really entertaining.
I know. It is. It's like there's always these trends of like, man, everybody was really mad today.
Right? It must have been a full moon.
That's right. It's raining outside.
Mercury
yeah.
retrograde, yeah. right? Yeah. But no, I mean, there's actually, it's pretty amazing. We get a lot of really positive comments, which is great. I appreciate that. And those of you that are out there, anywhere that you're not just at, you know, a healthcare institution, anywhere that you're going, if you have a great experience, share that information
yes.
with
yeah,
people.
Most people don't.
Most Good people point. Don't. And a lot of times it's like on your hardest day is when you get that and it keeps you going.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Like you're just down. I need something positive in a good review. That's a good point.
On meeting 15 and then you get a like.
I've seen her calendar. Like she opened it on a Zoom call and
unhealthy.
It's just like. Unhealthy. Not healthy. Yeah. Healthy or not healthy. Yeah. Looking at her calendar. The color coordinated meeting. I'm just like.
Yeah,
dear
it's
Lord.
Truly, what the health is going
what
on
the
here?
The health just happened. You've been waiting to say that, haven't you? You laughed at your own comment there. I love
My
it.
My husband made me promise I wouldn't do certain things. I've already done them.
What else?
That's even better.
Yes,
yeah, do them all. Check them
Give
all.
More.
Also,
more.
He also made me promise, and I didn't do it, that as soon as we turned on, I wouldn't be like, I'm so excited to be here. I do have a face for radio.
We've heard that line a lot.
I know. He was it's like, don't do that. I know.
Your husband has a
face for
radio.
And knowing you well, Eric, he was like, Eric probably already has all their corny jokes. Anyway.
We got them all. I want to go back to Mayo, the learning facility, right? It's a big deal. We talked about physician shortages. This is a reality that this is the world that we have to look at. There is a physician shortage that's very realistic. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
What do you think on that? And the people that come to learn there, are they staying at Mayo as physicians or do they get their experience there and go elsewhere?
Yeah. So I'll answer the second one first. So I don't know if you guys are familiar like with residency programs and things like that.
I am. I just like to see there.
Yeah. A little bit.
So, I watch Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
So does my wife.
Yeah. I know. Oh, I do too. It's okay. Yeah. So it's not very realistic.
Hashtag not healthy.
Yeah. It's not very realistic. The real stuff is way less interesting. Yeah. So typically with training programs, you know, you go through an internship residency kind of in the same program, same place, right? When it gets, and I say that meaning like, because there's a placement aspect that happens, right? So when you're a medical student, there's truly a placement, kind of almost like lottery system that happens for where you're going to go through internship and residency. So I say that because a lot of people that end up being medical students at Mayo have the opportunity to stay at Mayo sometimes, but not all the time, right? Fellowship is different. Not everybody has to do a fellowship. It depends on what you decide to specialize in, right? But fellowship is more of a, it's truly like an interview process, and it's truly a, you have to kind of go through and they select you and they say, yep, we want you, you know, as a fellow. So I say that meaning a lot of residents that stay at Mayo, depending on what they want to specialize in, may go elsewhere to do their fellowship and then in hopes of coming back. So we see this a lot of times with like neurosurgery, for example. They'll do a neurosurgery fellowship at Mayo, which is a very extensive fellowship.
Yeah.
And then they decide that they want to be a specialist in nerve. They might go elsewhere.
Do you say nerve or nerd?
Nerd.
Yes. That's my radio joke.
That one comes naturally. Bad.
Terrible joke. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And peripheral nerve. And so to go with the neurosurgery fellowship. And so they might actually go elsewhere to do that fellowship and then try to come back. Right. So, and there's different things we do for that. To answer your first question, I think, do I think that there's a physician shortage today? Absolutely. Do I think that that will continue to perpetuate and get worse? Yes, probably. I think there's a physician shortage today because when you look at the rate, in my opinion, I'm not an expert by any means. But when you look at the rate of which the population has grown versus the weight of which people go into medical school and choose to be a physician, you know, it's not at the rate it should be if you did some sort of analysis, right? And then naturally, our population is getting sicker and sicker. So you've already got kind of this kind of shortage aspect that you're working from. And that's just across the board. So then when you look at somewhere like Mayo Clinic, Mayo Clinic's super subspecialized. So I have been in practices, you know, where I've had the opportunity to try to recruit physicians. And a lot of times we're looking for someone who specializes in this and, you know, has X amount of experience or what have you. And it's a super narrow window in reality. And you put the ask out and it's like, there might be six people in the country that would meet this, right? And then depending on their personal situation, they may or may not be interested. So the funnel gets narrower and narrower all the time of what you're looking for. Now take on to and just look at the external factors completely of we make physicians' jobs harder and harder all the time, right? And when I say we, I mean like as a collective, not
Mayo. I got
not
it.
Me
we got it.
Specifically, the not United Mayo States specifically, as a collective,
system,
right? The
healthcare system, carrier, right? Like all of it.
Right. Patient. So like I think everybody would hopefully know this, but in case you don't, like there are lobbyists that exist for both health insurance and for healthcare entities, right? Like Mayo Clinic has lobbyists, several other like HCA, et cetera, has lobbyists, right? Because they're constantly lobbying and, you know, in government situations of trying to help make modifications to bills or what have you that might exist that cause some of that downstream strain? Because those are the things when you talk about incentivizing, like there's not a ton of incentives anymore for people to go to medical school, right? Unless it's just something you truly want to do. But is that at the rate of which the population growth and the chronic disease growth is happening? No.
Two quick hits. Healthy or not healthy, lobbyists.
My uncle's one.
I know. He came from D.C.
It depends on the size. As big as Mayo, you have to get lobbyists. Yeah. It's an unfortunate way our system's set up that you get big enough, you have to go in the lobbying business. So I can't despise it.
We didn't even get into the insurance versus hospital system conversation, which again is that's a 48-plus minute conversation, which I love. We'd love talking about it. The other random comment / question. So there was a recent report where they interviewed, I got to find this. I'm just going to throw out random numbers and I got to find the information. They interviewed people from the ages of 12 to 16 in certain countries. We're just going to use China and America. Do you know what the number one thing kids want to be from 12 to 16 are in the United States?
Oh, I know what it is.
What is it?
Influencer.
Yeah, an influencer.
YouTube or something.
That is number one on the list is an influencer. Physician is like
it's not even on the list.
Like India. That's,
yeah. What about China? Was physician on there?
Yeah. Influencer was non-existent. It was engineer, physician. And I'm not comparing.
Yeah.
Again, I love.
No, yeah.
That sounded bad.
But that's the reality. Like, right?
How do people like yourself and Mayo change? Then you have physicians who are now influencers that make more money by posting videos of their patient unconscious doing surgery. Watch this. Getting sued and fired, but sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm going to switch. Go back to the conversation, but it's just the physician shortage scares me. Is it the debt that you come out of school with? Is it the responsibility, the reading, the academics? But I am concerned, go back to children, it's the lack of prestige and importance of this role because of this thing right here and this thing.
It's missing the glamour, right? Like, and when I say glamour, I mean like it's truly just that, right? It's truly and to be in healthcare and any position in healthcare, by the way, you know, clinical, not clinical, you truly have to have an aspect of selflessness, right?
Don Musalem.
Yeah. Dr. Musalem.
Dr. Musalem.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
Yeah. You have to have an aspect of selflessness, and not saying that regular people don't, but it's like, it's a hard and trying industry. And it's an industry that it asks a lot of you. And that's coming from my perspective as not a physician, right?
I'm curious because I know we're dealing with a lot on the technology side, at least for radio. Is there a way, and are there experiments or things going on that are looking at alleviating some of that through artificial intelligence?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's an hour conversation. I love, by the way. We got less than 2 minutes here. Good luck. Yeah.
2 minutes, go.
So there is, I'll get my opinion, not sanctioned by my employer, right, is artificial intelligence is amazing. I'm doing some things looking at AI myself at work. But AI is only useful if it's plugged into processes that already work pretty seamlessly, and it's looking to enhance those processes, right? Most things in healthcare don't work seamlessly. And I'm saying that coming from a place that probably has very seamless and robust processes compared to most, right? Okay. And the challenge of that is because, again, when you're talking about like my job, I talk almost in every meeting probably about like, can we standardize this? Can we standardize this? Because I'm looking for ways to create automation to make it easier for employees, physicians, et cetera. But it's incredibly hard to standardize when every patient is unique, right? And so that's the part in healthcare where it's like, will some of these things happen that will revolutionize how healthcare works? Absolutely. But we've got a long way to go. We got a long way to go. Doesn't mean that we're not all up for the fight.
Do you know my least favorite part of this show?
The end?
When we run out of time. I'm like, keep going. But also it's like, oh my gosh, we're about to run out of time. You crushed it. Like, I'm not, she feels awkward me saying this.
Yeah,
that was incredible. Hey, that was, you got to come back if you're interested.
Yeah, I would love to come back. Thank you for the opportunity. I can't wait to just fast forward this to the part where I said I have a face for radio to play for my husband.
On repeat. Hey, we'll chop it up on repeat. Hey, cut it up over and over and over. Heather Barlow, operations administrator with Mayo Clinic. These opinions were hers independently, right?
Yes.
But also, my goodness, some knowledge. Thank you for joining. Please come back. That's what the hell just happened.